throughout the week and intercede for others. I'm in Leviticus chapter 3, and the next offering that we find tonight, the grain offering or the peace offering that is mentioned here, and as we're reading here, we're reading about how God requires, what God requires for us to approach Him, to worship Him, and as we've walked through these different offerings that the Lord prescribed and proscribed, we're mindful of what David said over in Psalm 51, verses 15 through 17. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Why? Because these, O God, you will not despise. God doesn't give all these offerings, all of these requirements that are listed in Leviticus that we're going through merely for ritual and routine, or He's after the heart of the worshiper behind the offering. We have to remember that as we walk through these examination of these different offerings. What God is concerned about is your heart and my heart tonight. When we gather to worship, that we draw near, not our lips can be speaking, but our hearts can be far from Him. He's concerned about heart worship. But this offering that's offered up is about hearts that have been made right with God, have right standing with God, and once who were alienated from God, praise God, have been brought near. And that's reason to shout. That's reason to celebrate. That's reason to bring an offering before God. We hear a lot today in worship songs sometimes that are sung or on the radio, and people are acknowledging our brokenness. Oh, our brokenness. Heal us of our brokenness. And you know what? We are broken people. We're broken down houses, broken vessels, leaky pots, right? Well, why are we broken? Why are we broken down? Why are we, I didn't say cracked pots, you know, but you know what I mean. Why? Because of sin. Sin that's entered into this world. And what we should be singing about is not so much our brokenness, but singing about the restoration of our condition with God from rebellion to being reconciled to Him. Because all that sin is a result of rebellion, sin transgressing what God said. The first Adam failed. Our forefather, he rebelled against God and didn't obey the simple command, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But what's amazing, God made it right through the second Adam. And that's what we celebrate. That's what this sacrifice points to. It's something we point to right here at this table. It's something that we enjoy when we fellowship together around this table and when we fellowship around God's word and feast on what it says about what Christ has done for us, what He did for you and for me, taking our place. Remember, listen, when God made Adam, remember, it was on the sixth day that God made Adam. And when God made him, God's intention, the Creator intended for the created one made in His image to enjoy one thing with him. And that was what we enjoyed on that seventh day. And what was that? Shalom. Peace. We were made to enjoy God, to fellowship with Him, to be in right relationship with Him, to be whole with Him. And when sin entered in to Adam and into the garden and into the created order, that peace, that shalom, that was broken. And yet God had always had a plan on how He was going to restore what was lost. In fact, the passage that we read from Colossians when we came in is a picture, I think, of this offering that's offered up and peace that is made between man and his maker through the offering, the sacrifice of Christ, the second Adam. You see, that absence of peace with God leads to absence of peace with others made in God's image. That's why people aren't right with God. They're certainly not going to be right with others that are made in God's image, whether it's their spouse, their children, their parents, their co-workers, their boss, their neighbors, the other political party, fill in the blank, right? Until we have peace with our Maker, you can't have those peace with those other relationships. It's absolutely essential because you don't know the definition of peace. We don't know the definition of peace and wholeness and completeness. But what this sacrifice reminds us is that our sin separates us from God, but God offers us fellowship, a restoration. He's Revelation would say, knocking at the door. And if we'll open the door, he'll come in. And what will he do with us? Fellowship with us. Sup with us. Have a meal with us. Come on, y'all are Baptists. I know you like to eat. Amen. Well, this is a meal. This is an offering unlike any other offering, because in this offering, the offerer, the worshiper, gets to enjoy a portion of it. The priests enjoy a portion of it, and even family members, others, can enjoy a portion of this offering. It's a beautiful picture of Christ. Man, beloved, not only can he satisfy the hunger of our souls and make us right with God, but that's something that we can taste and see for ourselves is good, and invite others to taste and see for themselves. It's good too. This is an awesome offering to study and to realize this grain offering, this peace offering. How do you find communion, oneness with God, which has been lost? It's a voluntary sacrifice, like chapter 1, chapter 2, those two offerings, the burnt offering and the grain offering. I'm talking about the peace offerings, chapter 3. Those offerings, all three of these are voluntary offerings. God doesn't force anybody to do this. God doesn't force anyone to love him. He loves everyone. And that love is supposed to motivate us, woo us to love him. And so as we realize that tonight, and we think about this offering, let's just hear what he says here. Some things, some insight into this offering, the peace offering that's offered. I'm in chapter 3. When his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it from the herd, whether male or female, he should offer it without blemish before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that was on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe of attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. This peace offering that's offered up, it could be from the herd, male or female, notice that. It could be offered up from the flock, whether it's a goat or whether it's a sheep. In verse 8, it can be of the flock. In verse 12, it can be a goat. So you can offer up a goat, a sheep, or something from the herd, a bull. You can offer up any of those to the Lord as a peace offering. And in that peace offering, when you come and offer that sacrifice, you come and you bring your best and unblemished. You try to bring your best there. According to chapter 7, though, when it's repeated, this offering is repeated and explained a little bit more fully. It didn't always have to be a perfect sacrifice, but it was you brought your best to the Lord. And as this was brought to the Lord, just like any other sacrifice, you would identify with it. The worshiper would identify with that sacrifice by laying his hand on the head of the offering and seeking peace with God. That burnt offering that's already offered up in his place, this was often offered alongside that burnt offering. Why? Because in the burnt offering, you're recognizing sin. Here you're saying, I just want reconciliation and I want to be right with God and I want to enjoy peace and fellowship with God. What was lost. And that's what sin does. It always disrupts that union, that oneness that is offered, that man often misses out in life and searches for. It's not going to be made until you come and get your heart right with God. The sacrifice that was offered, it's dedicated to the Lord. And in identifying with it, a portion of it, only a portion of it, is burnt. It's burnt there, just as the grain offering, a portion of that was offered up, and the priest got to keep some of that. Here, the priest and the worshiper get to enjoy a portion of this. But why the fatty portion? Why is that offered up to the Lord? Why the portion that surrounded the livers? Why is that offered up? And around the kidneys, why is that offered up to the Lord? Some would say, you know, well, that was just a health thing. God was watching out for his people because, you know, if you eat too much fat, right, your cholesterol level, we know that now, it goes up through the roof and you get high blood pressure and all those things and heart issues. I don't know that that's necessarily it. That certainly could be it. Some would say that it had to do more with what was offered up to idols. And maybe you've heard this phrase before. When they would offer up to idols, they would offer up the idols and they would take the liver from a bull and they would cut it in pieces and try to prognosticate what was going to happen, predict what was going to happen. You ever heard someone say, you know, they did something because they had a liver quiver? You ever heard that before? Yeah. And some people think that's what they were doing. And so to be distinct and different from the idol worshipers, God would just have all that burnt so they wouldn't even have to worry about it. I don't know. Different commentators think different things here. What we do know is for some, they considered it the choicest portion which was offered up to the Lord. And the family, or the worshiper and his family and the priest, enjoyed the rest of the meat of the offering, whether it was a goat, whether it was a sheep, or whether it was from the herd. Whatever it was offered up to the Lord, the Lord's portion. Now, here's the important thing. Just like the burnt offering, just like the peace offering, and we'll see with the sin offering in chapter 4 and then in chapter 5 with the trespass offering, it doesn't matter. God describes and prescribes how you worship him, and that never changes. You come as he says, because remember, he dwells in unapproachable light. No man comes to him unless he makes a means and makes a way. And when he describes and defines how you approach him, you've got to approach him that way. Now, here's the beautiful thing for us. We who were enemies with God, alienated from him, estranged from him, Christ has come and through his body offered up himself so that we can be made one with God. Not only the burnt offering, Christ offering up himself in this sense, that he pays the penalty for our sin. Remember, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He offered that blood that we sang about earlier. And praise the Lord, he has made us right. That's our righteousness. But you remember we sang, "This is all my hope and peace." Do you remember that? I mean, these old hymns are written. There's deep theology in those hymns. It isn't just we're singing about hope and peace. No, this is the peace we need because we were estranged. And Christ has now enabled us to come and be one with the Father. The atonement's been made, so now we can have fellowship with our Maker. And we can be made right with him, and we can commune with him. And praise God, we can hear him speak in our life and walk with him and talk with him now. And we should celebrate that. You say, why don't we do this on a regular basis? Well, you see, every time we come and we gather around this table, we remind ourselves of that. That now a covenant has been cut and now we are the people of God. And we who once were far and hadn't received mercy, now we have received mercy. And now we have him. He's ours and we're his and we shall always be that way. And we can celebrate that. But also, anytime you and I open the Word and we nourish our spirits and we feed our souls and we digest the wonderful truths about who Christ is and what he's done for us and the sacrament, we're feasting. We're chewing up truth that transforms our life and reminds us, listen, as I go throughout the week, I don't know about you, but I just want to walk with God in the coolness of the day. I want to walk with my Father. I want to walk in a way that's pleasing him. I want the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart to be pleasing, acceptable to him. That's how we're motivated that. And it's not because we bring an offering. The offering we point to is Christ. He's already brought it. Praise God. It's interesting, as he says here, this offering, when it's offered up, an emphasis that you would find in chapter 1, chapter 2, whether it's down in verse 5, or I believe in verse 12, verse 13, when it talks about an offering that has a sweet smell to it, a sweet aroma. Verse 5, verse 16, it's found there, this sweet fragrance. Now, this isn't so much the pinch of incense that's in it. God is pleased in this offering when people, those made in his image, that he made for fellowship with him, come to him and say, I want that fellowship restored. Because we were made for that. You were made for fellowship with God. You were made to commune with him. We were made to walk with him all day long, to hear him speak. And that's why we have his word and we have the spirit to understand what he's saying. We should have a fellowship meal all the time. I know you're Baptist. You know you love fellowship meals. Amen. Got one coming up at Thanksgiving. We'll throw a little bluegrass in there too. You'll see that in the advertisements and things that we got going on. That's going to be a great fellowship meal, and I'm glad we have those. But our fellowship meal also is around this table and around this word. And when we gather and we feast on truth of who Christ is and what he's done for us. Mindful, remember, as I said in the book of Revelation, Jesus knocking at the door, wanting to come in and sup. Sup, fellowship, feast. That this offering is one that's to be enjoyed. And it's a perpetual statute. According to verse 17, throughout your generations and all your dwellings, don't eat the fat or the blood. Why? Well, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. You offer that up to God, realizing a sacrifice is offered in your place. It has paid the penalty. What can wash away my sin? Didn't we sing that tonight? Nothing but the blood of a bull, the blood of a goat, the blood of a sheep. No. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away our sin. And cherish these truths. Celebrate them and worship God right. And daily walk with him and enjoy fellowship with the God that you were made to worship. And we were made to fellowship with. And one day it'll be even sweeter when we get on the other side. Amen? Amen. Let's pray tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. On that cross, you purchased our pardon. You made us right with the Father, and you reconciled us. You brought those that were far near. Thank you that that was me, Lord. That was us. Lord, your desire is that others would experience that and celebrate that. And Father, that's the wonderful news that we have to share with the world around us. May we be faithful to do that, Lord. Lord, as we are ministering, not just with the hurricane relief, and all of our ministries, Lord, whether it's growing here with children and students, or whether it's ministering in a school or in a jail or in hurricane relief, in all these ways, Lord, help us to invite others to a meal, to be made right with you, and Lord, to enjoy fellowship with you. And may we evidence it in our lives by the way we speak, the things we think about, the things we do. God, may it be evident we belong to you. Lord, I heard prayer requests tonight for others that, Lord, we're not certain about their salvation. Lord, whether they are at one with you and enjoy peace with you. God, I pray for their souls tonight, Lord. We pray for them because, God, we're burdened. We want them to know you as we know you and to enjoy the sweetness of fellowship. Thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters who, as a family of faith, we gather around this feast and we can partake together. And celebrate it. And we celebrate it with our high priest who intercedes for us. And we celebrate him tonight and ask all these things in his precious name. Amen and amen.